This podcast is a service of South Canyon Baptist Church in Rapid City, South Dakota. For more information about our church, visit southcanyonbaptist.org.
Hello, South Canyon Baptist. This is Pastor Brent, and I'm here with Pastor Joel and with Pastor Josh. And we want to spend a few minutes in this podcast talking about our thoughts and the vision of planting a new church, in case you haven't been able to go to or aren't going to be able to go to any of the listening sessions that Josh is doing. We wanted to give you the opportunity through this podcast to know a little bit about the process that brought us to where we are now as far as elders and pastors making this decision or recommending this vision. And then also maybe just some specifics from Pastor Josh about what he envisions this church looking like. Josh, go ahead and just share a little bit as we get started here about maybe even the chronology or some of the past history process that we walk through as elders to get to the point where we are now.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a while and been something that we've been thinking and praying about. And we could go back quite a ways, I think, to just see some of the seeds of this. Having been previously in a church that planted a couple churches, even back in seminary, taking a couple classes on church planting. And so there's lots of, I guess, probably different starting points. I think in terms of it really gaining some traction, we can think back to, I think it was, fall of 2017 or so. We were, Pastor Brent and Pastor Kevin at the time, and myself, we just had ongoing conversations, as we do every Tuesday as pastors, just about the church and what we think about different areas of ministry and where we see the church going. Out of that conversation came the idea of multiple services, that as the church was growing, should we add another service, those kinds of things. And really it seemed like we all agreed that while none of us think that having multiple services is in and of itself bad, that maybe we should really think and pray that if God continued to grow our church, that maybe launching new churches, being a multiplying church as opposed to just continuing to grow South Canyon larger and larger with more and more complexity of ministries and services and stuff. And so, that conversation kind of began there and just began to pray and think. And just in my own, growing up in Rapid City and just having a heart for this city and just noticing that there were areas, I think, of town where there wasn't a good reach into the community with the gospel and with the ministry of the church. There are plenty of churches in town. There are good parachurch ministries. But just sensing that there was room within our city for more neighborhood churches. I did some demographic research and just realized that Rapid City is actually far less church than maybe we realize. I think we can easily get in our own bubbles and maybe even live a lot of our whole lives in church world and in kind of the Christian bubble and forget just how many people have moved into our city, how many people have who used to identify with a faith don't anymore. And then where those people tend to be concentrated. So all that started to come together to where it was like, boy, I really do think that we ought to be a multiplying church and that maybe we would have a place, there would be a place for South Canyon to establish a new church and maybe down the line multiple new churches that reach into their communities and the gospel would be more accessible, that maybe South Canyon can't do everything just on its own, but could multiply and see more disciples come in. So began to pray. And then began to sense that while I was praying along those lines, praying that maybe God would send us someone or people who would want to lead something like that, and then sensing that maybe that's what I ought to do. So God just cultivated a desire in our hearts to pursue that, brought that to the pastors, and then eventually it got to a point where it was like, let's take this to the elders for prayer and discussion. And so I began to form thoughts and a vision, and it took lots of different forms and was refined all the way through, and that was in April of 2018. We put it on pause while Kevin transitioned out and Joel transitioned in. It was kind of put on the back burner But then with Joel coming in and that being just a great fit, it seemed like maybe the time was right for us to pursue this. And so God continued to give confirmation, continued to give clarity, and our elders resonated with that until finally we decided to bring it to the church and actually begin to start moving forward with tangible plans to plant the church. So that's where it kind of started. I do think there's areas of town that need, that are good, viable options, with the downtown being, I think, top of the list in terms of being able to reach all different areas of the city and being a place where there's a particular particular need for the gospel and for even physical ministry to people. It's just a needy area, it's a lost area, and it's a diverse area, and that excites me to see the gospel flourish there right in the midst of the city. So that's kind of a brief storyline. Maybe it didn't feel brief as I was telling it, but that's kind of a sketch of how we've gotten to the point we are now.
Yeah, and as I remember, I was able to be at the first meeting that you had, informational meeting, last week. One of the things we talked about that you mentioned was that there is a certain number of churches that are regularly dying, ceasing to exist. And really, the rate of church planting in America is not even keeping up with that at this point. So it's necessary that we plant new churches just very practically, because to not do so would mean that we would have a significantly fewer number of churches that people would have the opportunity to hear the gospel through. And so planting churches is, you know, just in one sense, in that sense, very practical. But also there is a sense in which new churches have particular characteristics, and there's a dynamic about a new church that often makes new churches more likely to reach new people. And that's one of the things that I, when I planted a church, that was one of the things that really motivated me when we moved in 2001 from Alabama to Washington to the Seattle area to plant a church. Talk about that. Talk about some of the things you have learned and that you have discovered in terms of what you've been reading as you've been preparing and thinking about this, and through the assessment process even, some of the things along those lines.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I mentioned, in Rapid City, I think the stats, the current stats are, well, this is actually of 2010, so it'll be interesting when the 2020 census data comes out, but in 2010, 58.8% of people in Rapid City identify with no religious faith at all. They don't self-identify at all. Evangelical Protestant, which would be the slice of the pie that we would be in, self-identifies at 16.2, and I think we would say that not even everybody who claims to be a Christian really is a Christian. So I think there's definitely, and that's been a massive increase, or even over the year 2000. It's kind of interesting to see why that is, but I think that's true really across the United States. And history just proves that that the best way to reach people is to plant churches. Ministries are important. Personal evangelism, obviously, is essential. But the reaching of people and seeing the gospel expand in a population is the planting of churches. There the stats that you were mentioning is there's about 4,000 churches that close every year. And at this point, only 3% of existing churches will ever plant another church. So the replenishing of those 4,000 deaths every year is being shouldered by only 3% of American churches. And that's across all denominations. And, you know, obviously certain denominations are more biblically faithful than others. So that's you know, it gets even more concerning, I think, when you consider just even within those who we would resonate theologically and would say are clear on the gospel and healthy churches. So, and I think within Rapid City, you know, there certainly is churches, but, you know, I think there are, the population is growing. I do think that there are some churches that will probably close over the next few years. And so if we're not replenishing those, we will see the gospel or the number of Christians, percentage of Christians in our community continue to decrease if we aren't regularly replenishing that. And it's normal, you know, the normal lifespan of a church is about 70 years. And so so if you're not starting new churches, they die, you know, just like human beings, you know. We have lifespans and we die off, and if we don't have children, then the gospel won't go to the future. And that's true. That's just just the normal order of things, that churches also have life cycles. And so if we're not reproducing, then the gospel will not faithfully go into the future. So we have to have a regular plan. Churches need to replicate themselves in order to see the gospel go into the future and expand. And, you know, Rapid City, I think, is growing by at least 1,000 people every year. So if you, you know, you could probably plant 2 or 3 churches a year just to keep up with population. But, yeah.
Joel, I know you have been a part of a church plant most recently. And so when you come from churches and have been a part of churches that plant churches, share a little bit about your background in that regard and why you believe this is an important and a right thing to do as a church.
Yeah, I think, I mean, certainly all the things that have been mentioned already, and just trying to reach people and be in the heart of the city there and be replenishing just healthy churches in this area, all those are important. Yeah, my own experience was thinking through it just more recently, and really 3 of the churches I've been a part of, at least for the last, I don't know, 20-odd years, have been church plants. The one I grew up in and met Kimmy at was a church plant that my dad was involved in doing, and so that was kind of what we grew up in. It started out in my parents' living room. They had a, you know, fairly large house, and so we were able to start there. And then we were in a school for, I don't know, about a year, and eventually we're renting an Adventist building. So yeah, that whole experience of setting up in a school or having, you know, kind of sharing someone else's space, and just the excitement as people were coming along and we were trying to just be faithful to Scripture and follow kind of the leading, God's leading in that church plant. And then and then another church Kim and I were part of for about a year was also meeting in a school. It was kind of a smaller church plant. As well as the last church I was at, had met in a school for many years until they were finally able to get a building. So just that element of kind of starting something and seeing it grow and having that presence in the community, oftentimes whether it's schools or just, you know, buildings that are more in the right among where people are living and working and everything, there can be a good, just a good element to that, having that presence. And I think, too, I'm excited for South Canyon, even for, you know, the majority of people who are just, you know, praying about this and praying for God's success, you know, giving success and wisdom and direction, and as well as supporting it, and even for some who might go with the church plant, but even for those who stay behind, I'm excited for our church, just the kind of I think energizing that it can bring, as you know, as maybe some people need to step up to kind of help fill in the gaps for someone who leaves, and just an excitement about, you know, what this church plant is doing, excitement about what that means for this church and kind of our identity as a church that wants to be not only sending people to the mission field but sending people out to church plant and to reproduce. And I kind of think of it a little bit like a family, and just growing up in a family when the older brothers or sisters gets married, you know, there's always that kind of bittersweet element of seeing someone you love, you know, not living at home anymore, not being there, you know, every day maybe. But at the same time, there's this celebration, and there's this new thing that's being formed, which is always going to have a relationship, you know, to the family. And there'll be times where you get together for some, you know, holiday or family reunion, and get to see the, you know, the new life and the new people who have been brought in through that process that, you know, God designed for the family. And I think also designed for the church, and there's places we see that clearly. You know, the church in Antioch and in the book of Acts, you know, Paul and Barnabas, probably their 2 superstars, it would seem, you know, those are the ones that they send out on this journey. And and then see a lot of fruit through that. So,
yeah, as I think about, too, Joel, what you were just saying in terms of the effects of the sending church and how it could and often does affect a sending church, there's a study that was done of 624 established Southern Baptist Convention churches that planted churches, and it's interesting. The statistics say that attendance in those churches rose by 21.5% for the 5 years after the church plant. Designated giving increased 77%, and regular tithing increased by 48%. In other words, established churches that planted churches were markedly healthier by nearly every metric than those churches that don't. So, you know, one of the things I think we need to continue to remember is that normally, and God works in this way, it's a win-win situation. The new church reaches new people, and there are lots of there's lots of opportunity there and new kingdom growth, but then that also happens in the sending church. So I want our folks to be encouraged as we think about how God's going to work on both sides of this process, those who us who are here and who are sending, and those who leave with Pastor Josh and the family to be the core team for this new church plant and what God's going to do there.
Yeah, and it's it is a little unsettling because there are certain patterns and that will be a little bit disrupted. There will be vacancies and needs, but I think that's what God intends for us. I think He intends us for us to be dependent on Him. I think He depends on us to not rely on our own strength or our own resources, but to rely on Him. I think this will cause both sides to be more prayerful. Both those who go and both those who stay are going to need need the Lord to provide for some things that we can't just do ourselves. I think there'll be opportunity for leaders to step up. I think it could be easy at South Canyon if we just stayed the course. There would be a lot of untapped leadership. I think God will really bless it, and I think it actually attracts, you know, people who want to be sent out. They are looking for churches that are willing to train and send out. So I think this church will actually benefit greatly as it gains a reputation as a multiplying church, that it'll draw in those who want to be part of that and want to be multipliers themselves as individuals and in churches. And so, I see no downside. I see some short-term, I don't know if pain is the right word or change, but the long-term gain seems really high. And I think our city needs more churches. And, you know, I don't think anyone would argue that in 5 or 10 years we need more churches in our community. But for them to really be strong, they need to be planted now, because it takes a church plant a little while before it's really functioning at full strength. So if we want more gospel witness in our community in 5 or 10 years, we ought to plant that now. It's that analogy of a tree. What's the best time to plant a tree? Well, 30 years ago, so you can receive the full benefit now. What's the second best time is now, so that, you know, as soon as possible that tree can grow and develop. And I think our community, you know, if we just think 5 or 10 years down the line, will we be glad that there's another church in our community? And I think the answer would absolutely be yes. We're thankful. We can't imagine our community without this new church. And so just to get to the specifics, is that the aim right now is to go downtown. That's the aim. That's the goal, is to identify those who would be who would resonate with this vision of meeting downtown, gathering on Sunday mornings downtown. I've got a couple different places that we're looking at. Option one that I really like is to meet in Rapid City High School. That's just a great historic building. I think it's a place people would feel comfortable. It's nice. It's got plenty of parking. Plus, there's a lot of ability to build inroads and try to bless that school and through that community. It's also very close to School of Mines, so the opportunity to interact with college students and be even within walking distance, because there's a lot that would come here, they just don't have a car or they don't have a ride, so to be that close to them would be a real value. I am running into a few snags at Rapid City High that maybe we can work out, but another plan is that there is another space for lease that is available downtown, and that looks like that could be a possibility too. And instead of just renting it on Sundays, that would be a space that we would have all throughout the week, could stay set up. So both of those I think fit within the overall vision, but depending on which one God leads us to, would change the specifics a little bit of what Sunday mornings might look like and what we'd be available to do midweek. But I think both are exciting options, and we'll see There's I've identified about four or five other options too, that if those top two aren't, neither of those work out. So some of those specifics on exactly where we'll land and meet on Sunday mornings is still, we've got kind of a range. We want to be downtown, but and then we want to be marked by, we're going to have midweek in-home life groups, just like South Canyon, and then we want to free people up as much as possible. We won't have a lot of programs, but we'll be as free as possible for people to find within their gifting and to find areas and avenues of ministry in the community as well as within the church, but finding ways to find inroads according to their gifting and passions with the needs and ministries that are downtown. So I do think ministries, parachurch ministries, are important and helpful, but I think people ultimately need the local church. They need the public preaching of God's word. They need the love and affection of a church. They need church membership. They need the Lord's Supper. They need baptism. Those are the things that God redeems us and sanctifies us through and brings us to faith in him. Jesus himself said that it's by our love for one another that people will know Jesus rose from the dead, which seems weird that would be the apologetic, but that's what persuades people of the resurrection. At least one of the ways is through the church's love for one another, and then their unity we'll know you're Christians by your love. That's how they know we're authentic, and it's our unity that speaks to the resurrection. I got that backwards, but so we've got to put that in a place where people can see it, can witness it, can experience it firsthand, and I think planting churches is the way to do it.
Also finish, Josh, by sharing a little bit about the timeline that you're looking at this point.
Yeah, so we announced in May publicly to you, and then we've got these three interest meetings. We had one last week as of the recording of this. We have one tonight as of the recording of this podcast, and then one on June 9th at 9 a.m. in the youth room. And so that's just an opportunity for people to come and hear more. Some of what we've shared here will be shared there, a lot more as well in terms of the specifics. And I have a handout and a PowerPoint, and then I also have a response card where people can prayerfully consider what level of involvement they want to have in this, what kind of partner they want to be. If they would like to just get information and pray, which we need a lot of prayer, this is going to have to be something that God does. God builds the church, not me or any man, but God himself, so we need prayer. Second is financially. Maybe people would stay here but would want to give of their resources to this. And then the third thing is for those that maybe would feel actually a call to go and invest in this and be a part of that church planting core team, to be an actual member of this Redeeming Grace Church. And so the aim is that by the end of June, that we would have a good sense of where we're at, who wants to go, who wants to give, who wants to pray. And then, in discernment with the elders, making sure that this is something that South Canyon does and that we're walking in step together. getting the elders' approval and affirmation of that core team going. And then from August, maybe even September to December, doing a lot of training and hopefully actually launching as a church that meets on Sundays and is is establishing itself in the community in January. So that's the timeline. It could go a little slower than that, but that's the aim there, is to launch in January 2020. Between now and then, to form the team and train them, and essentially try to form a pretty well-formed church even before we actually go public and launch. So
great. Well, thanks for listening. We hope this has been helpful, and that you'll be in prayer, that you'll be considering how you might be involved and how you might be a part of supporting or even participating in this new church plant. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thank you.
This podcast has been a service of South Canyon Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this production has been an encouragement to you. May God bless you.